So let's jump in, because I am ready to go some places in this word. One of the things, I love to go places in worship. I love to go places in prayer. But I believe that we have to begin to, not begin to, we have to continue to go places in the word. Because it is the word that sustains us when the music turns off. And when, as we are talking about this place of perseverance, it is the word that begins to give us the encouragement and the strength to continue to persevere through the challenges. While music is great, but sometimes there are some places, and sometimes, Eric, I know you experienced this, where you're trying to find that right sound, where you hit a sound, but you're like, no, that's not it. The Lord's not there. But it's the word that takes you to the place of the right sound. Say right sound. See, sounds come through music, but sounds also come through words. Glory to God. So we're talking about and continuing to talk about lessons and perseverance. And it's from the book of Nehemiah. There are a couple of things that we really just want to unpack today. And I want to look at some stuff and really get us to a specific place towards an end. So I'm going to ask you to bear with me for about 30 or so minutes. You know, if you feel yourself getting a little bit tired, just kind of shake it off. Say, I'm going to shake it off. All right, Joel Osteen used to have, or I don't know if he still does, he used to have people confess that their mind is alert when he starts to preach. Oh, glory to God. So perseverance is talking about the steady persistence in a course of action, a purpose, or a state. It's interesting when you look at what an antonym or an opposite of perseverance is. The opposite of persevering is to give up, to quit, to bow, to give in, to submit, to surrender, to yield, to hesitate, or to vacillate. So during these times, Holy Spirit does not want us to quit or to vacillate or to bow or to even hesitate. Hesitation is the enemy of perseverance, because it is a stopping of motion. Perseverance is to continue in a course of action, especially and in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. So our foundation scriptures that Apostle has been reading, the first one comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Say it was written for our instruction. Now, as an educator, I can't go past that word instruction without saying something about what instruction means. Instruction, I tell kids every day, instruction means demonstration of the mastery of the content. Because if you didn't demonstrate mastery, then you really didn't learn it like you think you learned it. So the scripture was written so that we could learn how to engage God, and we can learn how to apply the principles of the kingdom so we can demonstrate them. Instruction is more than the passing of the information. It is the demonstration of the information that was passed. And when that information is passed, Holy Spirit illuminates it, and then it's called revelation, because then he reveals something that is deeper than what is written on the surface. You guys understand what I'm saying? And so when he begins to reveal and bring revelation, then that revelation must be received, and then a decision must be made what to do with it. Now, verse four, it says, our instruction through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we find hope. That word "and" is a conjunction. It combines two different thoughts. So we could read and say, whatever was written in earlier time was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance, we could have hope. Perseverance can give you hope. A lot of people are looking for hope in order to persevere. But we must be persevering and then have hope. See, some people have this thing flipped. They're waiting on one thing to happen so another thing could happen. But when we do that first thing, then what we're looking for will happen. Somebody say amen to that. So verse 5 says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Now it says the God who gives perseverance, and encouragement. Now, I hope you're taking notes because we're going to go deep in this thing. We're going to come back to that verse a little later. But just keep in mind where it says gives perseverance. A lot of people want to develop perseverance, which it can be developed. A lot of people think perseverance is a character trait, which it is. But where does it come from? God gives it. You can't stir it up until God gives it to you. You can't develop it until God gives it to you. And then when God gives something, it has to be received. All right, we'll come back to that. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Glory to God. Yeah. Glory to God. It's nothing like traveling in the word. I'm telling you, there's nothing like traveling in the word and allowing God to just take you different places and connect scriptures and tell you how these things really mean. I'm telling you, there's nothing. Ooh, it's nothing like it. You can get lost in his word. And that is the whole point of discipleship, to get lost in his word, to be like our teacher, to do the things that he does. And to make that thing so plain to help other people be able to get lost in his word. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, we know Jesus talking about the parable of the sower. And he said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they would not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, say a while, and in time of temptation fall away. They stop believing basically because the levels of discipline required to persevere through the challenges, they didn't have it. So they received it, they shouted, they ran, they like, ooh. And then when the challenges came, they fell away. Verse 14 says, the seed which fell among thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Now, apostles said this the past couple of weeks. They brought forth fruit, but it didn't mature. And this says, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Say perseverance. Now, this passage indicates the need for perseverance in order to bear fruit. Now, we all want to be fruitful. The scripture told us in Genesis, it says, be fruitful and multiply. In order to be fruitful and multiply, we have to have perseverance. You cannot separate the calling of God on your life, the calling that God has placed to accomplish something, from the calling of God to persevere while accomplishing it. I say that again. You cannot separate the calling of God to accomplish something from the calling of God to persevere while accomplishing it. When God gives us vision and he lays out the assignment for our life, we get excited about how we're going to reach millions and thousands. And I'm going to build this multi-billion dollar business. And I'm going to only have to work 4 days a week. And I'm going to, you know, work from anywhere and all of that stuff. But you got to get the calling to persevere to build it to that point. Then there's a calling to persevere to maintain and grow it once you get it to that point. There is no end destination. It's like I tell people about leadership. Leadership is not a destination. It is a journey. The calling and purposes and plans of God on your life is more of a journey than a destination. Because when you get the thing that you have mapped out on your vision board or put on your prayer wall, you have to now walk in levels of discipline to maintain and grow it. Because science talks about objects in motion remain in motion. Object at rest remain at rest. If you stop doing something, it will remain at rest. And then it takes a force greater than the one that's at rest to make it start up. Do you, somebody say amen to that? So that's why we must persevere, because once you stop and you chill, now it's going to take a greater degree of force and momentum to get you to get back going again. Whereas if you keep going, the momentum that you have can kind of push you through. Say, push me through. Now, I just feel this. I don't want to be churchy and name everything an anointing, but for lack of a better term, I feel like a shoving anointing in this place right now. Holy Spirit is trying to like shove you to this next place. He's like standing me. Come here, Kelvin. Come here. This is my dude, so I'm not going to shove him hard. He's trying to push you to get you going into where you need to be because he knows that there's some resistance. Hold on. Come here, Jeff. Come here. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to, do we need to come down on the floor? Okay, stand right here in front of Kelvin. Act like you're trying to push Kelvin towards me. So opposition is trying to push him and keep him from moving forward. If it can't stop him, it's trying to slow him down. But this is what I feel in the spirit. I feel some Holy Spirit shove going on to make us like bulldoze by. Somebody say amen to that. Thank you, God. It's almost like football. When you're playing football, you got that line that runs and they just boom, 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 and they run through and they move obstacles out your way. That is the type of grace that's present right now. Somebody reach up and say, I receive it. Because as we persevere, as we leave this location, we're not coming out tired talking about, oh, I'm so glad I made it. I'm so glad. We're not coming out limping. We're going into the next place celebrating. Like, here we are, Hamilton, and we are here to transform you, and you will be better because we came. Somebody say amen to that. Glory to God. A whole city is waiting on us. And when we came to get on the grounds, we thought it was these grounds. But no, it was the city of Hamilton. We just had to be in the vicinity. We're taking the land. The embassy is about taking land, taking territory, transforming lives. It is not a church. Embassy is the place where, I'm telling you this, and this is what I saw in the spirit. Businesses will say, how can I hold a seminar at this embassy place? Because when I go there, there's something different that happens than when I host it somewhere else. There will be businesses saying, how can I have my office in the embassy? Because when I go there, I get more sales. Business starts to boom. We start to prosper. We don't know what's going on. We need to be connected to this embassy. That's kingdom. We're not looking. I mean, we're going to worship in there. We're going to pray in there. We're going to have nights of worship. I think we're going to start coming wait again where folks can come and wait in the presence of the Lord. But that's not it. When you talk about transforming the community, you're talking about teaching people how to have the job skills they need so they can break out of minimum wage and break into their next place of employment. You're talking about teaching people who have a desire to start a business how to walk them through that. You're talking about giving operating space to businesses or just an address for folks who operate online. You're talking about to transform a community, it takes more than just preaching. It takes the demonstration of what's being preached. It takes a people who are willing to say, look, let me help you. Let me show you how we can do this. That's what kingdom expansion is all about. Amen. Glory to God. Hold on. I got logged back in. All right, so in John 15, we don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to quote it to you. This is what Jesus said. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. He said, and I chose you and I appointed you that you will bear fruit and that your fruit will remain. He didn't say, so we talk about legacy. He didn't say, I chose you to be successful, then when you leave, it goes downhill. That's an ego trip right there, but oh, it's not the same because I ain't there. Or it was better when I led it or when I was there. that's not the call of God. God has called us to a mature place. That every time we leave something, it gets better. And then he places the next person to take it to the next place. It's all about succession. So what we establish today will have lasting impact for generations to come. What God is using you to establish will have lasting impact for generations to come if you let him. And if you persevere. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Well, in that first part of that chapter, you see we talk about how we glory in Christ and hope in the glory of God. But verse 3 says something very interesting. It says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance. Now, there are a couple of things you can look at in that scripture and can really give you the tight face about. It's like, why do I want to be excited about tribulation? You don't get excited about the tribulation. You get excited in the tribulation of how God is moving. And then he builds you up to the point where you just understand it's just a part of the process where it doesn't even faze you anymore. Certain stuff shouldn't bother you anymore because you've overcome it. I'll give you an example. If I'm outside and I see an ant and I step on it, it shouldn't bother me. Something that's under my feet should not bother me. You get what I'm saying? Something that I have authority over should not bother me. It can't vex me. You giving up? Everybody understand? So when something comes against you that you have already overcome, probably multiple times because the enemy tries to keep coming with the same thing over and over and over and over again, you should get to the point of like, oh, you again? Go on somewhere. Because you are walking in a level of victory where that thing cannot touch you. It is under your feet. It is like the grass that you walk on in your yard, or the snow you walk on that's probably coming, or the ants from the outside when it's rained. You just squish it and keep it going. Somebody's looking at me like, ooh, he's so bad. Talk about squishing ants. So it says, knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance. Now, we must rightly divide this scripture, because if a person is not careful, they would think that God gives tribulation in order to give perseverance. But that's not accurate teaching. Because we just read where God gives perseverance. So this phrase, brings about, in verse 3 is the key. Brings about is talking about something coming forth. So God gives you perseverance because he knows the enemy is going to try to oppose the word. He's going to try to oppose. He knows the enemy is going to try to oppose you from attaching your faith to the word. Because the children of Israel, the first time they couldn't enter in, it said because they didn't mix the word with faith. So what happens is the enemy, and we saw that in the parable of the sower, the enemy tries to come immediately to steal the word. To keep it from being in your heart, to keep you from meditating. Your heart is the soulish realm, not your spirit. So what he tries to do is keep you from getting it. Your soul realm is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So he keeps you from emotionally attaching to what the word is said, because that's really the purpose of a soul tie, is to tie yourself and bind yourself to the things of God. Not to these people with short dresses, or these dudes with these tattoos, or I just heard this phrase the other day called a pick trap online, where they post these pictures to trap you, you know what I'm saying, to try to get you to look all at what they do. See, that's the perversion of a soul tie. What God really desires is for the things of God to be bound to you. That's why he said in the Old Testament, write them on, post them on your doorposts and all of that stuff. And then he said, I will write them upon your hearts. So it brings about perseverance. When you are dealing with a challenge, it causes the perseverance that is in you that God has given you to rise up. And so God gives us perseverance so we can demonstrate it when opposition arises. Then as we demonstrate it, our character is developed. Because the next verse talks about, and perseverance brings about character. Apostle said this, the you that hears the word is not the same you that's going to fulfill that word. The heirs, and I would say, tell you this, the heirs that you are a part of today is not the heirs that you will be a part of come January. And I'm not even going to say in the future and, you know, make you think I'm talking about 2020 or something like that. There will be a different heirs in the year 2020. Trust that. But I'm talking about January of 2019. The heirs you see today will be totally different. The you that we see today will be totally different by January 2019. I'm telling you prophetically, the you see today will be different in January 2019 if you lend yourself to his presence. Because there's a transforming work that Holy Spirit is doing on the inside of each of us. And the us that's going to the embassy, the us that's going to transform that community is going to be a more mature expression of the us that we see now. There's a new wineskin that Holy Spirit is knitting for the new wine. Because I'm telling you, there will be increased levels of the anointing that is upon your life. Not just an increased level of the anointing on this house, not just an increased apostolic anointing upon Apostle John, but I'm talking about, which is going to happen, because people are going to start hearing about heirs and coming from miles around to experience heirs and the transformation and the delivering power of God. We have yet in a long time to see folks come in here and get some old-fashioned, old-school deliverance, but trust me, it's happening. Because people are going to come and spit up a demon and leave delivered. And now you can't freak out when you see somebody puke because thinking, ooh, that's nasty. Yeah, it is, but they're getting up free. So just glove up, grab some paper towel, help them wipe off, and say, let's go. There will be instant deliverances that occur. I'm telling you, the atmosphere is getting charged for miracles, signs, and wonders. You cannot teach on miracles. You cannot be a prophetic house or an apostolic house without the demonstration of the supernatural. And God is not just about us talking about it. He's about us experiencing it. When I was growing up, they'd say, don't talk about it, be about it. So I'm telling you, there's going to be an increased anointing upon you. You're going to recognize stuff that used to come hard comes a lot easier because of the anointing and that breaker anointing that's being released upon your life. Glory to God. I'm telling you, we're coming into a fuller expression of what heirs was always meant to be. We've seen seed of what heirs is supposed to be. There was a time that before I came to heirs, where people were rushing in and the lines were long. That was a seed. The intensity of the presence of God that we experience, that we love so much, is a seed. We've only experienced the seed. This thing is about to come to some maturity. And I'm going to tell you this. This is what Holy Spirit told me prophetically. Sometimes Holy Spirit gives me a prophetic word in advance. It doesn't mean I'm less prophetic. It just means I heard him in advance. I mean, and so he gave me this scripture and said, this is prophetically what's going on. Isaiah 43:18 in the message. It says, forget about what's happened. Forget about what's happened. Notice he ain't say just forget about the bad stuff that's happened. He said forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the deserts and rivers through the badlands. I'm telling you, something new is about to burst forth. It's happening. Those of you who are still believing to make your contribution, trust me, God is going to put the seed in your hand, not just for us to sow into the embassy, but so he can bring increase to your life for sowing that seed. It's happening. It's brand new. Something brand new is happening. Something brand new is happening. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 1. Now we can finally get to Nehemiah, because we're supposed to be learning about perseverance from Nehemiah. I love to have fun in his word. Oh my gosh. So Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. I want to show you something that I thought was real deep. It was real deep. So chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of whatever the guy is, whose name starts with an H. It said, now what happened in the month of Kislev. In the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani and one of my brothers and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Let me highlight something to you. Verse 1, it happened in the month of Chislev or Kislev, because it's sometimes it's pronounced or spelled with a K-I-S-L-E-V versus the C-H-I. You'll see that dual spelling. So it happened during that month of Chislev, the 20th year. He gets the information. He begins to pray. Information came to him that shaped his world. He felt the burden about the information. So he begins to be moved into a place of prayer. A place of intercession, right? So the rest of that chapter outlines some of the things he prayed. Now, look at verse 11 in that same chapter. He said, O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere or respect your name. Make your servant successful today, say today, and grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer of the king. I'm going to highlight something else. I hope you're taking notes. He said, make your servant successful today. Grant compassion before the king. This was during the month of Chislev. You follow me? During this month, he gets the information. He begins to intercede and pray. Make me successful today. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 1. Oh, wow, this is good. I'm excited. And it came about in the month of Nisan. Say Nisan. In the 20th year of King Xerxes. Now, this was all the 20th year. But first, it was the month of Chislev or Kislev. He gets the information. He begins to intercede. He says, make me successful today. And give me favor in the eyes of the king. Now it's the month of Nisan in the same year. And he says that wine was before him and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And so the king said to me, why is your face sad though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate? And his gates have been consumed by fire. Then the king said to me, what would you request? Check this out. So he prayed during the month of Chislev. Interceded. He said, give me success today. In the month of Nisan, the opportunity arises where the king notices something different about his countenance because he had been praying and interceding for Jerusalem. And it was all on his face. And the king noticed it and said, what's going on? So the opportunity now arises for him to get what he needs from the king during the month of Nisan. But he started praying during the month of Chislev. Chislev on the Hebrew calendar falls between November and December of our calendar. Nisan is three falls between March and April of our calendar. So a 3-month period went by before the opportunity arise, say quarter. Now, in the meeting we just had with Apostle John, he said the entire first quarter, we're going to reassess everything pertaining to heirs. Our worship time, what we offer, everything. To make sure that we are focusing on our core competencies and meeting the needs of the community. He even talked about length of service or length of our gatherings. Everything is going to change to prepare for when we officially do our launch on Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday of 2019, we know, is in April, which falls during the month of, Hebrew-wise, Nisan. Look at this prophetically. We are now technically in the Hebrew months or in between the Hebrew time of Chislev. A quarter from now, we will be during the time of Nisan. The burden came and the prayers began to be offered from Nehemiah to God during Chislev. The opportunity arose during Nisan. Now, when it says in verse 4, when it said, so I prayed to the God of heaven, he wasn't praying. I believe Nehemiah was praying for how to say what he wanted to say, not for what to say. You guys see the difference? Because his response was, I need this, I need this, I need this, and I'll be back at this specific time. How did he know all of that? Because during the month of Chislev, he prayed and got strategy. And that strategy was very specific to the point where he knew the materials. He knew he needed army folks. He knew he needed papers from the king. He knew he would need an entourage and find a place to stay. And he said, let so-and-so give me some timber. And when the queen said, when will you be back? He said, the scripture says he gave him a definite time. He knew how long it was going to take. All of that came during the time he was praying and getting strategy. So I'm telling you prophetically, during these next couple of months, God is going to give us specific strategies for our lives and for heirs so that when we launch officially Resurrection Sunday, everything's going to be in place. I need you to really press in and see that. Glory to God. So it's my timer went off, so it's time for me to stop. But I need to give you something. Can I get a couple more minutes? Okay. Because I want to give you something, because in this place of getting strategy, we have to persevere. This is why it's so important to persevere, because they are a distraction from the strategy. Because it'll have your mind thinking about other stuff instead of resting and receiving from the Lord. So back in Romans 15, and we'll just go right to verse 5, it says, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another. Well, how is perseverance given? How does God give anything? Perseverance is given through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to get all churchy, you can say the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes you say that and it make you just feel it. You'd be like, ooh, say it again. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how perseverance is given. Let me show you in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and I'm about to read real fast. It says, but you will receive power. Say power. when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you should be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest parts of the earth. That word power means dunamis. It talks about the ability to work miracles, but it also talks about the moral power and excellence of your soul. There is a supernatural ability that the Holy Spirit brings for you not only to perform signs and wonders, but for you to persevere. He has given you power. Say power. You do not have to take the foolishness. There is a difference between saying enough is enough and enough is enough. One denotes, hey, I'm just tired, I'm gonna roll over. The other one says, I'm not taking it no more. This is done. Shut down. Under my feet. Kicked out the ballpark. Say power. You have power over the pressure. When you start feeling pressured and overwhelmed, rebuke it. Let's get back down to some of how the old saints used to say, rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. I refuse to allow myself to feel pressured and stressed and worry and all of that stuff. I command that stuff to leave. I don't care what the challenge is. I'm not going to feel the weight of it. I'm going to tap into the power of God and the wisdom of God. And Holy Spirit is going to give me strategy, and I'm going to apply it courageously. Say power. He's giving you power because the Holy Spirit is on you. He's giving you power, and you access it by faith. Say faith. Faith is the substance of what we hope for, the evidence of what's unseen, or the evidence of the supernatural. It is your faith that accesses that power. Say power. And it's accessed by faith. Let me show you something real quick, and then I'm done. Romans. I'm going to just read it. Romans 4, verse 19, talking about Abraham. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Say, I'm fully persuaded. Now, there was a lot of knots. It says he staggered not. He considered not, because he was fully persuaded. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, by faith, say faith. Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. You better shout right there. By faith, when he was called, he went to a place to receive as an inheritance. By faith, we are going to a place we are called to receive as an inheritance. The people there are our inheritance. Say hallelujah. When you got called to that job, you received it as an inheritance. And every person that you have changed and helped change their life, you received as an inheritance. Woo, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You should be, woo, I'm excited for you if you're not excited. And then it says, we'll skip down to verse 11. It says, by faith, say faith. Even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive. So not only was Abraham, did he access by faith to walk in the promise, the people with Abraham received strength by faith. He tapped into the power of God to persevere. Last scripture, Romans 15, 13. Make this your confession this week. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Say faith. It said, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Find joy in believing. abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Access the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Do you receive this word?
I receive.
Thank you, Jesus.